Okay, Acts chapter 20, actually, we're going to take one verse out of 24, and then we're going to move on into a new chapter, chapter 25. But the last verse of chapter 24, it says, "But after 2 years, Porcius Festus came into Felix's room, and Felix, willing to show the Jews a pleasure, left Paul bound," or left him incarcerated or in jail. So in other words, what this verse is saying is Felix is getting replaced by Festus as the governor of the province of Judea. When it says, "But after 2 years, Festus came into Felix's room," it's really speaking of his office. It stepped into his office, and Felix is taken out. Felix has been fired or let go by the emperor, okay, history tells us. So as Felix is going out of office, he is going to just leave Paul's case that he's locked up for, just let it set. He's just gone unsettled, not going to take care of it, and he don't want to offend or upset the Jews, and so he just is content to leave Paul bound. And he's been locked up for 2 years, and so he understands that he's done nothing but kick the can down the road for Paul. He had plenty of reason to let Paul go. No evidence, no particular case against him, but Felix was cowardly. He didn't want to deal with the Jews and any kind of upheaval from them, and so he left it for his successor Festus to take up the case when he's in office. And so we'll begin in Acts chapter 25 now and read a few verses. It says, "Now when Festus," that's the new guy in office as governor, "was come into the province, after 3 days he ascended from Caesarea to Jerusalem." And let me just say that when it says he ascended, if you'll look on the map, Caesarea is actually north of Jerusalem, and so you'd think that he went down to Jerusalem. If we look at maps, we think when you go south, you go down. But the fact is, the Bible doesn't refer to things in that way. It talks about elevation. And Jerusalem was considerably higher in elevation than Caesarea. And so when it says he ascended to Jerusalem from Caesarea, he's just saying that he went uphill. The elevation was quite higher. Okay, verse 2 says, "Then the high priest and the chief of the Jews informed him against Paul and besought him and desired favor against him, that he would send for him," Paul, "to Jerusalem, and they would be laying in wait to kill him. But Festus answered that Paul should be kept in Caesarea and that he himself would depart shortly thither. Let them therefore," said he, "which among you are able, go down with me and accuse this man, if there be any wickedness in him." Now, so Festus is the new Roman governor over the province of Judea. I want to explain how this kind of works, okay? Because it helps to understand the dynamics of the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire was vast, as you know. Within the Roman Empire, it took in a lot of, under its umbrella, it took in a lot of smaller nations. Of course, Israel was one of them. Israel's homeland was Palestine. Palestine fell within a province that was ruled by a particular governor. In this case, Felix, the governor, has already been taken out, and Festus has stepped in, and he's going to rule over and govern that province, which takes in all of the Hebrews, takes in many Gentiles as well, but the people of Israel. It's kind of like the United States in a sense. You've got 50 states. They have a governor that kind of governs over that state, but we fall under the umbrella of the United States of America. Well, it was very much the same way with the Roman Empire, except it was not a democracy. It was run by an emperor, okay? So in this case, the governor is now going to be Festus. He's coming into office, and he's got to face whatever problems his predecessor has left him. And so we know one of those problems being the Jews' case against the Apostle Paul, something we've been studying now for two chapters. And Caesarea is kind of the capital of the province. That's where the governor's house would have been, and that's where he ruled from. And so after, as it says in verse 1 there, after coming into office, within just 3 days, he goes to Jerusalem. He travels to Jerusalem and begins to inquire about what this particular case the Jewish leaders had against Paul involved. He wants to find out what the charges are. He's really, this guy's just hit the ground running, so to speak, as a governor, and he's tackling these problems. You have to understand how important it was to a Roman governor to maintain peace within his province. I mean, it was absolutely essential. If there was any kind of disruption within his province, whether it had anything, if he's at fault or not, any kind of revolt or insurrection or even a riot of any kind, he has to answer to the emperor for that. If it's in his jurisdiction, his populace, if you will, he's got to answer for that. And so it was the utmost importance that any Roman governor keep things settled and quiet and peaceful. So it was kind of a juggling act. They had to enforce Roman law. They had to carry out justice. In this case, the Jews bringing a case against the Apostle Paul. They had to try to keep everybody happy, the population, from complaining and this sort of thing. And so it's a really tricky deal for a governor to be dealing with, and especially with the Jews, because the Jews were very hard to keep happy. They had a history of manipulating the governors in getting their way. And, of course, a case in point is when they capitalized on Pilate's mistakes and his instability, and they had the Lord Jesus Christ executed. That was a perfect example of what they like to do, to go in there and manipulate, pull strings, and upset the apple cart and try to get their way. Manipulation. Okay, so they've already pressured Felix enough that he left. When he left office, he left the Apostle Paul in jail. And so there's and by the way, without any kind of evidence against him. And there's no doubt they're going to continue to apply the same pressure to this new governor, Festus, and try to, in hopes of getting him to take action, convict Paul and get Paul executed. But They also would like to even skip that process, due process, if you will, and just assassinating themselves. And that's what we find in verse 2 and 3. It says, again, let's read it. It says, then the high priest and the chief of the Jews, that's all the Jewish leaders, okay, informed him, the emperor, or not emperor, but governor, of against Paul and besought him. Now watch this. Desired favor against him. In other words, do me a favor that he would send for him, Paul, to Jerusalem. Now notice this last phrase, laying wait in the way to kill him. Now at first sight here, you tend to think, okay, they've gone to the governor and said, hey, governor, would you do us a favor and get Paul, bring him up from Caesarea, and while you're doing that, while en route, we're going to lay in wait and we're going to take him down and assassinate him. That's not what's being said at all. What they're saying, it's phrased in an awkward way, or a way it's difficult for us to understand, but really what the only thing they've asked of the governor was that he have Paul brought from Caesarea to Jerusalem. That's all they're asking. They didn't make him aware of their plot. It seems that way if you read that. But laying wait in the way to kill would have been unbeknownst to the governor. They weren't bringing this plot to pounce on Paul when he was transported. They didn't bring that before the governor, okay? So I need to clear that up. Fortunately, though, Festus had no intention of moving Paul in the first place. In verse 4, it says, but Festus answered that Paul should be kept in Caesarea and that he himself would depart shortly thither. Remember, Paul was a Roman governor. Caesarea was the headquarters or capital, if you will, of his province, and so Paul, being a Roman citizen, he's going to be dealt with there in Caesarea. He's not going to move Paul, but he does tell the Jews that he's going to swiftly address the situation. He tells them in verse 4 that he's shortly, and in other words, as quick as possible, he's going to be departing and go back to Caesarea, and he's going to try to put this whole issue to rest. And in verse 5, he suggests to them that they come with him. He basically is saying in verse 5, he said, "Let them therefore," said he, "which among you are able, go down with me and accuse this man if there be any wickedness in him." In other words, he's saying, if you guys have the evidence, you're the ones making the accusations, you're the ones that's brought this case against Paul, then you travel back with me and we'll put this thing to rest as quick as possible. You come give testimony if you believe Paul is guilty of any kind of offense against your law. And so what we see is really Festus is a pretty wise governor. He doesn't want to unjustly act on the Jews' accusations and just believe them and convict Paul or fail to give him a proper trial. But he also is trying to appease the Jews because he knows how passionate they are about this situation. And so he's appeasing them by simply saying, "Hey, I'm going to act as quick as possible. Okay, I'm going," and he did. He actually is the opposite of Felix that just went out of office. If you remember, Felix just kept putting the whole situation off. He kept kicking the can down the road. That's why it's 2 years later now, and nothing has ever been done. He was just the kind of guy, he just didn't want to take responsibility. He just kept putting it away, and the Jews are not forgetful. I'm sure he thought that the Jews will just forget about this and they'll let it rest and everything will settle and then I can kind of just discreetly let it go and maybe let Paul go. But the Jews had such a grudge against Paul and such a hatred for Christianity that they're not about to let it go away. So now the ball is in Festus's court. Let's look at verse 6. "And when he had tarried among them for more then 10 days, he went down unto Caesarea. And the next day, sitting on the judgment seat, commanded Paul to be brought. So true to his word, after taking care of all of his business in Jerusalem, 10 days or so it took him to do that, he returned to his office in Caesarea and immediately, the very next day, it says, began to hold court. In Paul's case, the court was going to be first on the docket. He's going to deal with Paul's situation right off the bat. The fact that the scripture says that he sat on the judgment seat is significant because that means that this is an official Roman trial. Now, as we've gone through the last couple of chapters, we've just seen little inquisitive hearings taking place and random gatherings to ask questions and all of this. This is an official a court. By the fact that he has sat on his judgment seat. He's not playing games. He's a man of action, and he calls for Paul to be brought in. In verse 7 it says, "And when he was come," the Apostle Paul, "the Jews which came down from Jerusalem stood round about and laid many grievous complaints against Paul." You see, they gave their testimony. They made their accusations. They presented their case. But watch this last phrase, "which they could not prove." So after 2 years, they still have no witness. They still do not have evidence, so therefore they don't have a case. This should be over. All they have is a hatred for Paul and a disdain for Christianity. And so they're not going to give up. They're not going to withdraw their complaints. They're going to stay at it, but they have nothing that can be proven. So now Paul gets a chance, and we're just about done. Notice verse 8. "While he," Paul, "answered for himself, he said, neither against the law of the Jews, neither against the temple, nor yet against Caesar, have I offended anything at all." So Festus is now, he's held court. It's a true court situation. He's sitting on the judgment seat. He's heard both sides of the case. He heard the Jews complain, which had no proof. And then now he's been allowed to hear Paul's side of the case. And so now he is faced with the same dilemma that his predecessor Felix was faced with. He recognizes that Paul is not guilty of anything, but he's also fearful that if he dismisses Paul, or dismisses this case and releases Paul, then the Jews are going to be in an uproar. They'll lash out at him. They'll create this some kind of upheaval, and he will be in trouble with the president or the emperor. And he'll have to. And all of this taking place in his first 2 weeks in office. So he's not about to take that chance. Okay, he's a better governor than Felix was. But he still doesn't have the fortitude and the integrity to do this right. And so he is he's going to just kind of do a little bit of what has been done in the past. He's going to kick the can down the road just a little bit further, and he's going to wait, and we'll see next time we're together, see how he handles it, okay? But right now, he's not handling it at all, okay? Appreciate you guys very much. And we'll stand. I know some of these are boring details, but when you study the Word of God, it is the Word of God. So we just take it all in. So let's go ahead and stand and be dismissed. And we'll see you back here on Sunday, okay? Sheldon, will you lead us in a word of prayer, please, sir?